Thank you, church, for being here this morning. I hope you all have had a great start to 2018. It's hard to say already, I know. It's kind of weird to think about. We're in 2018, but here we are, and I hope that you have had a great start to this year. If you haven't, by chance, had a great start, well, guess what? Here's a brand new day. Here's a brand new Lord's Day, an opportunity we have to be able to change that. We may not have tomorrow, but we have right now. And so that is a blessing to be able to be here today. Thank you very much for your attendance with us this morning. As you can see on this wall right here behind me, we have a brand new theme for a brand new year. Our elders have decided that this, as you've heard now, it's going to be more. We're going to do more. Never be satisfied where we are spiritually, right? Isn't that the whole thought process behind that? When we get complacent in our Christianity, when we become complacent in our walk with God, then bad things can happen. That's why we're warned through the Bible, take heed lest ye fall. We cannot be too bogged down with status quo. We must always strive to achieve more. Our God gave us His best, and we owe Him our best. And so I am thankful that we have the opportunity today to talk more about this great subject. As you can see on the screen this morning, we're going to have a series of lessons this month talking about everyday Christianity. These lessons are going to come from Philippians 4, verses 1 through 8. And that is a passage you can go ahead and turn with me in this morning. Philippians 4, I said 1 through 8. I think we'll actually go through 9. But there are going to be several different lessons that come out of this, that will be based out of this passage, that we need to be doing every day. As Christians, we need to be doing them more. We need to be doing all these things and more. Beginning, though, in Philippians 4, verse 1, it reads as follows, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for," the Apostle Paul now writing, "my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together, with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers," this is what Tanner read to us earlier, "finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I want to take that phrase this morning. We're starting at the end, kind of going to work our way back and forth in this section of Scripture the rest of this month, talking about everyday Christianity. But in verse 8, Paul there says, the New King James put it praiseworthy, if there is anything praiseworthy. But the ESV and some other versions put it there, if there is anything excellent, think on these things. Today I want to talk about excellence. I want to talk about pursuing excellence. Because that's what, when we put that together with doing more for God, it's about being the best we can possibly be. You know, Toby was teaching in the back about commitment this morning. And that commitment taking us to throughout our life. We need to be committed when it comes to our walk with God. We need to be committed in our jobs. We need to be committed in our families. We need to be committed in whatever. Athletes are committed. There are all these people that commit. Well, with that, as Christians, that goes hand in hand with us pursuing excellence. If we want to please God, then we need to be committed to pursuing excellence with God. There are other passages I want to take you to this morning. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 reads like this. Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Did you hear what Solomon said there? A man who had more than anybody, had more wisdom than anybody, more women than anybody, more rich. He's tried it all, right? He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You know what that means? That means pursue excellence. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all eagerness, and in the love from us that is in you, make sure that you excel in this act of kindness too. There's the word, excel. Be the best we can be. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound, or that other, there we could use the word excel there again, in love for one another and for all, just as we do for you, so that your hearts are strengthened in holiness to be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Jesus put it this way. When he was asked about the greatest, what is the greatest command? Here's the way he put it. He said in Matthew 23, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. From these verses, and there are many more that I could pull out this morning, that we could go through this morning, but from these verses alone, it should be clear that God wants His people to abound or to excel in what they are. That's the inward being, okay? And He wants us to excel in what we do. That's the way we act. So this morning, I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what's on your mind. I don't know what is going through your head today. But if you could just stay with us for the next few minutes in all of this, because it's this important. God expects us to excel from the inside out. Now listen, we need to talk about excellence in just a moment, and we will. But I don't want you to sit here and think that He wants us to excel like people in the world view excelling. He wants us to be equal, but He wants us to do it through His Word, through His faith, through our faith, and through worship and dedication to Him. It would seem obvious that there is simply no way one can love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, if we're not willing to be the best that we can to bring glory and honor to God's name. That's where more comes in, right? That's where this ties right into our theme this year. The pursuit of excellence is both a great goal. It is a great mark of spiritual maturity. Am I pursuing being the best for God I could possibly be? So, what do we need to do? In order to understand this lesson even better, let's define the word excellence. Well, it's defined as literally the state, quality, or condition of excelling or superiority. Now let me pause for just a moment and tell you the kind of excellence that God wants us to excel in. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of that passage, where the Apostle Paul says this, and I show you a more excellent way. There should not be a chapter break right there, but it's kind of neat that it is because we have 1 Corinthians 13. 13 verses that deal with love. So if you put it all together, here's what Paul's saying. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And then he spends 13 verses talking about that more excellent way. Today, what do we need to excel in? That's love. We need to excel in love, number one, for God, and love for our fellow brother and sister. If we do two things this year, we will have done a lot for our Lord. Number one, if we grow closer to Him in our love, and if we grow closer to our fellow man in love, and we encourage and check on and look out for one another, we will see the kingdom grow immensely. We will see God's Spirit throughout this place. And I'm not just talking about in here because I know God's Spirit's in here. I'm talking about through the Sims community, through the community surrounding Mobile County, all the way to Mississippi and beyond, that we have members that drive that far. You see, we will have this place turned upside down if we will all give more of ourselves to the excellence of God's love. Excellence is something that is critical, striving for that excellent way. Biblically speaking, the pursuit of excellence refers to pursuing and doing the best we can with the gifts and abilities God gives, and giving it all to His glory. Isn't that what so many in the Bible, who have now become famous, if you will? I mean, you go through Hebrews chapter 11. You go through that hall of fame of faith and see those names. Who were they? Ordinary men and women. Ordinary men and women whose stories have been told time after time after time. And the reason they made what we call, not God, the hall of fame of faith is because they excelled in striving to please God. Think about how much better our marriages would be if this year I decided every day, by the way, this is not just a sermon for today, this is everyday Christianity. Paul put it there, Philippians 4:8, meditating on excellent things, okay? Think about every day how good my marriage or how much better my marriage would be if I excelled in my walk with God. Think about how much better of an employee I'd be. Think about how much better of a teenager I'd be, or a child I'd be. Think of how much better of a community citizen I'd be. Think of how much better of an American I'd be. We could go on and on, right? Excelling in our walks with God literally will make our lives and everybody else's better. So this morning, I want to talk about pursuing excellence. And I want to talk about three quick points that will help us in this pursuit, at least in my opinion. Number one, we need to pursue excellence. And that, in other words, we need to be choosing to be the best or choosing the best. By the way, this is not choosing good or bad. Sometimes we get wrapped up in that. Well, today I'm going to choose to be good. Our kids sometimes do, at least. You know, we're not choosing between good and evil. We're choosing what is best or superior because it better enable us to accomplish what God has designed us to be. We're going to choose to excel in our walk with Him so that we can bring better glory and honor to His name. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4. Paul again wrote these words, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Let's pause right there for a minute. Any of that sound second best? Any of that sound third best, fourth best, all down the line? No. All of this is God gave us His excellence. Now pick back up in verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now I'm going to take you with that same mindset there, with that in your mind, think about Philippians 1 now, beginning in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more, in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, if you go to Philippians 1 there, that word approve, it is from the Greek word dokimazo. Dokimazo. Here's what it means. To put to the test or examine. And it also means, as a result of the examination or testing, to approve or make the right decision. Put it all together now. We are to put God, His Word, His love, His church, His worship, we need to put all that to the test. When we find out that it is the best, if we haven't already, and the majority of us have, then guess what? We need to choose to excel in all of those things. That's what Paul's saying. God gave us His best, Ephesians chapter 2. He gave us the best that He could give us. He created you. He created me. We're His workmanship. Why? To show His love, to show His grace, to show His mercy to the world. And then he said, Paul said to the church at Philippi, you need to discern this. You need to test it. Dokimazo, you need to approve it. Once you find out it is the best, then choose it every single day. God did not give us leftovers. Why are we giving them to Him? I mean, it's January what? 7th today. You still eating leftovers at your house from December 25th? Probably not. But you did eat them for several days, I would imagine. Why would we not eat leftovers this long? Because they're nasty after this long. But think of the leftovers we've been giving God for so long. Oh yeah, God, I got a little time today. I'm going to worship You. Oh yeah, God, I got a little extra time left. I'm going to study Your Word today. I might read a couple verses. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep. I dozed off. I got a little bit of time before I go to sleep and I get up and do it all over again. Let's have a quick prayer together. Listen, God just wants His foot in the door to your heart. But let's be real about it. He deserves our best. He deserves us to excel. And we need to make that decision every day. Single day. I am blessed to be around Tally and Jason. They allow me to come out there and at least travel with them a little bit around, and they do all the coaching. You know, I'm there to, I don't know, maybe make them laugh or something. But they demand, these coaches, they demand the best out of these kids. They don't demand them to do something that's out of the ordinary. They just want the best. They've been successful with that. Won 2 state championships by doing that. God's the same way with us. He's not expecting us to be able to walk on water, folks, but He is expecting us to do the everyday routine, to do the everyday work and choose to excel and be the best we can possibly be. Let me tell you about a man named Ward Kimball. Poor guy. He was an animator for Walt Disney. Walt Disney demanded the best. You can see the fruit of his labor today, right? But Ward Kimball, an animator, he's working on the film Snow White. You ever heard of it? Little film. He once worked 240 days. Now, that's, you know, really what, 3/4 or more of a year. He worked 240 days animating a scene that lasted 4.5 minutes in the movie Snow White. 240 days making a scene, a clip, that lasted 4.5 minutes. The clip had the seven dwarfs working in the kitchen, cooking for Snow White, tearing the kitchen up, you know, making havoc of it all. Walt Disney watched this, and he decided they needed to cut that out of the film. Why? Because it messed with the flow. Now, he did okay with the movie. You know, it did okay. But the fact of the matter is, this man worked and worked and worked, and I'm sure there are a lot of stories like that about movie producers and such, but worked for 4.5 minutes and then it got cut. Why? Because it wasn't the best for that film. Today, I want to ask us this. Have we spent too much time working on something that really doesn't matter to God? It really doesn't go with the flow of His church. But you know what it's time to do? Cut it out. It's time to stop it. Number two this morning. If we're going to pursue excellence, that means we need to be all in. Ecclesiastes 9:10 again. Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol. Where you are going. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The words, whatever your hand finds to do, the words, whatever you do, they point to the importance of doing the very best in everything we do. Jesus said it this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now listen, we have big hearts. We have big souls, I guess the bigger we are. I don't know how that works. We have big minds. I know we cram a lot of stuff in all of those. But folks, right now today, if I want to excel in Jesus Christ, then I need to clean out some room and make sure He's got the majority. He's got to have it. He's got to be there. There can be other things there, but He's got to be first. He's got to be in our hearts, minds, and souls. Paul said it this way. I read it last week. I am more. I've been in labors more abundant. I've been in prison. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been in danger after danger after danger after danger. Why did He do it? So that He could be the best He could, to do the best He could to bring glory and honor to God's name. That was His purpose. That was His mission. Today we can be the best worker. We could be the best shopper. We could be the best hunter. Be the best fisherman, athlete, student. But if any of these cause us not to be the best for our God, then we need to get rid of them. If our hobbies are more important for us to be the best at than the Christian, then we've got a problem. If I want to be a better husband to my wife than a better Christian, and I know those seem to cancel each other out, then I've got a problem. If I want to be the best employee today and it makes me fall away from my relationship with God, then I've got a problem. And I need to change it. Because I haven't chose the best. I'm not all in with the all-knowing. Perhaps we need to make a list. Perhaps we need to make a chart, a graph, something, and ask ourselves this. Is God number one? If God's not number one, then I need to repent. I need to change. And I need to do it today. But finally this morning, if I'm going to pursue being the best I can be for God, I need to remember I'm doing it for His glory. I'm not doing it for me. You're not doing it for you. We're doing it for Him. That has got to be why we do what we do. I've said it now a couple times, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I love Solomon's honesty. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, in verse 2, the New Living Translation reads it this way. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. What's he talking about there? Well, if you flip a page over to chapter 2, here's what he says. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity or meaningless. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom. And how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their life. Let me put it to you in Terry's terms. Solomon said, hey, I tried pleasure every way you could imagine. I tried it with women. I tried it with money. I tried it with alcohol. I tried it with laughter. It all ended up being meaningless. It was madness. It left me empty. He said in the conclusion, chapter 12, everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. Keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. That's the whole story here. Now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. Solomon challenged us to pursue excellence. He told us the way to do that is to fear God and keep His commandments. Today we'd say put Him first. He said, listen, I tried it all, and it all was meaningless. Pursue excellence. Think on excellence. Choose excellence. A song that I've had in my heart as I get ready to close this lesson out. Why do we do this? You know, I know our world is full of tragedy. I know it's full of turmoil. It's full of Bad news. But if we will excel in God, I believe, number one, we'll make a difference here. But in the end, God's coming back. Jesus is coming home. We are the bride of Christ. He is the groom. Someday is going to be our wedding day. Lately I've been thinking, as I look all around me, I see by the signs that we're soon going to be leaving. The bridegroom is coming to take us all away. Maybe tomorrow, but I pray that it's today. And we will fly away in the twinkling of an eye, leaving all our heartaches and telling them all goodbye. Yes, we will fly away when He hears His Father say, "Jesus, go and get your bride. Today's your wedding day." Today, you can marry Christ. You can put the heartache behind you. You can say goodbye to the past. But you've got to make a decision. You've got to pursue excellence. Today, let's all excel. Let's choose love. Let's choose God. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.